most ridiculous one over there that's still living that you would say has no chance of happening?
Two black guys beat the black guy up. Hey, man, it's America. America, let me just tell you something.
What's that?
Do not commit crimes with checks. Come on, man. You cannot, if you're going to break the law, do not write a check. Get cash, man. It's Jussie. You wasted all that damn time and money. You know what you should have did?
What's that?
Just went out in Liam Neeson's neighborhood. You could have solved all your math problems.
If you're not drunk, ladies and gentlemen, get ready to get drunked up. Let's do it. Ha ha.
Yo, Chuck is absolutely positively hilarious, man. I absolutely love him. I actually don't know where I would place Chuck, like, in the pantheon of sports personality gas bags. But I feel like he got to be top five, right? Like, that's a must. Let me think about it. Hold on. He might actually be number one in my personal record book of sports personalities. Yeah, if I had to rip off the top five off the top of my head, I think Chuck and probably Stu Gotts will be gang warring for the number one spot. Tony Romo will probably be at number three. And I know a lot of y'all hate Tony Romo, but when it comes to commentating, the boy is just the GOAT. Shannon Sharp will be in there somewhere. And then the field would probably be rounded out with somebody like a Mike Golick Jr. or something like that. And the honorable mention is Gilbert Arenas' social media accounts. Shouts out to No Chill Gil. I feel like I'm up and coming though, man. I feel like I'm making my way. Mike Golick, I'm on your ass, Jack. Watch your back, bro. Anyway, welcome to episode 3 of Sports, Whiskey, and Earn. Did you feel that dramatic pause that I just threw in there? You know, trying to increase the tension, you know? However, wherever and whyever you chose to listen, I appreciate the fact that you chose to listen. Now, after admitting that I still, in the last episode, all my friends have seemed to lock up their liquor cabinets. And I can't blame them. It's probably a smart move on their parts. Hence, tonight, I'm drinking this Double Oak Twice Barrel Jim Beam. It was on sale. Don't judge me. And if I do say so myself, it don't taste half bad. Anyway, as always, I ask that before you listen to the show, you pour yourself a cup of brown and partake in some libations with me. Because as I like to say, only alcoholics drink alone. DJ D-Rec, cut the music.
I'm sick and tired of carrying all the weight. The coaches and owners not giving me the shit I need to win. Atlanta, you're fucking out. Kenny Powers is now a free agent. Buy the bar and get shit-faced, huh? Get me paid, bitch. Superstar.
First and foremost, Eastbound and Down might be the greatest sports-based comedy of all times. So if you haven't watched it, I suggest you check that out. And I absolutely wish that's exactly how MLB free agency actually started. I actually wish that was the conversation that Bryce Harper had with Scott Boras and the Washington Nationals. It would make it much more interesting. Fuck, man. I feel like a hypocrite right now. I sat up here last episode and went on a rant. A tirade telling you how much baseball sucks. Yeah, here I am again about to start the show off with that same topic. It's what the people want, though. So you know me, I'm going to fake it till I make it, you know? Girl's been doing it for years. Why can't I? Finally, we got some signings. At least in regards of the two biggest names in the sport. Well, not the two biggest names in the sport, the two biggest names in free agency. Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. Manny Machado goes to the Padres, signing a 10-year, $300 million contract. Bryce Harper goes to the Phillies, signing a 13-year, $330 million contract. Shit. Maybe I should be more interested in baseball. The question I ask are these type players worth these contracts? I mean, we've seen these mega contracts in baseball before. The Giancarlo Stanton, the Robinson Canoes, and they never seem to work out. But in the grand scheme of things, that shouldn't be the point. That shouldn't be the take home. Here's why this matters. Bryce Harper is one of the few players in Major League Baseball with a face, with a presence. Bryce Harper could walk down the street and people will actually know who he is. So now you take Bryce Harper and you place that presence in a city with a major media following. A city where the fan base takes precedent, where the headlines of newspapers aren't politically based, they're sports based. This is a sports city at its core. This is huge for baseball, because as I mentioned, it's a dying sport. Major League Baseball was smart. They will rally around this signing. They will rally around Bryce. They would put him on a pedestal. They would say, America, look at our superstar. Look at the best player in baseball. Even if he's not, it don't matter. He has a face. That's important. He has a presence. That's important. He actually is playing on a team with expectations. That's important. He actually has the type of ability to draw the national media's ire. That's important. This is Major League Baseball we're talking about. So we all know the purists will come out and one way or another, they'll take this shining moment and fuck it up. It's what they do best. All right. That's about all the baseball talk you're going to get out of me during Black History Month. On to the next topic.
Oh my goodness. This place is off the hook.
I love Hong Kong.
You get massage from Chinese girl before?
No, but I heard it was the bomb.
All right, so there's two constants that revolve around the Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. One, they're going to compete. They're going to compete every year. They're going to be in the upper echelon in the NFL, and they're likely to win a Super Bowl championship. That's for all intents and purposes, a given. And number two, when they win said championship, somebody in that organization, somewhere, is going to get into some shit. New England might be the greatest, most fucked up sports franchise in all of the world. In this iteration of whodunit, the culprit is one Robert Rameek Kraft, current owner of the New England Patriots, current owner of a diamond bezel championships chain, and current owner of two misdemeanor offenses for solicitation of prostitution. Robert, you got some explaining to do, my friend. Here are the facts. Robert Kraft was caught not once, but twice at the Jupiter Massage Parlor in Florida, an establishment that had ties to human trafficking, which is a vile enterprise, caught on tape receiving a good old rub and tug, good old fashioned happy ending. Now, listen, I'm not one to hear. I'm going to sit here and pass judgment on this man. I mean, Rob Money is a for all intents and purposes, a lonely old white man who recently lost his wife to cancer. I mean, shit, the man got needs. I understand, you know, and if you got money, why not use that money to fulfill those needs? It's what most people would do. But here's the proverbial rub. Again, while I'm not here to pass any sort of judgment on Robert Kraft, the NFL has shown time and time again that judgment is not really needed in order for them to come for you. Okay? They came for Zeke, not guilty. They came for Cat, not guilty. Hell, they came for Tom Brady, not guilty. Shit, they came for Jerry Jones, Jera. So that got me wondering, what would be the punishment that the NBA, that the NFL tries to levy upon Robert Kraft for all intents and purposes, tarnishing the brand? I mean, Jim Irsay got what? 6-game suspension, millions of dollars in fines for drunk driving. So I think that's a good establishment jumping off point for what we expect to see levied upon Robert Kraft. Now here's the crazy thing though. The New England Patriots will somehow, some way, use Robert Kraft's punishment as motivation. Motivation to win another championship, because the New England Patriots know one thing above all is that winning cures all ills. If they win a championship, all this goes away. They only got to win a championship. In a month, this essentially will be a footnote. Robert Kraft's lawyers are going to beat the fuck out of these charges. That's what long money do for you. Get you out of that shit that you got yourself into. Here's the fucked up thing about this whole case, right? You put it out there that this establishment had ties to human trafficking. But this was a 4-month investigation. See, this isn't even a sports angle. This is just a human angle, right? You do a 4-, 5-, 6-month investigation when you know there's women being taken advantage of. That's what really grinds my gears. Not that Robert Kraft, got his meat jerked, pause. It's the fact that the police watched and allowed it to happen. If it truly was human trafficking, why wouldn't you get those girls out of there? Why wouldn't you release them from their vulnerability instead of trying to make a case? Be better people, man. That's my advice for everybody. One last thing to think about, right? The timing. The timing of this is real interesting to me, right? You can look at this from two angles. Last week, Robert Kraft's organization was rumored to be interested in signing Colin Kaepernick. Now, again, this was a 4-month investigation. It was already known among certain circles. But the timing of the release of the information is real interesting. Cap's deal. Cap's settlement with the NFL. The timing, again, is real interesting. I mean, they did subpoena all the owners' phones, laptops, and technology in order to make their case. Who knows what hornet nest of shit they found out in those things. I mean, and that's leverage. I'm not going to sit here and say for a fact that one had anything to do with the other. But it's mad coincidental that both of those things, one that we thought wouldn't happen, and then something that we thought couldn't happen, especially with somebody who has the type of resources Robert Kraft has, both happened around the same time. Real coincidental, in my opinion. My advice to Robert Kraft. It's the same advice Herm Edwards gave to NFL players everywhere. Get yourself a fall guy, man. You make way too much money to be getting caught on tape hand in hand. You see what I'm saying? Don't pay by check, by all means. Don't use a check, but there are other means of exchanging funds than you walking up into a massage parlor, handing off a hundo, and heading to the back room. Now, I may be drinking, but Robert Kraft, on this instance, you, sir, are the one that's drunk.
Somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
So the NFL scouting combine started yesterday, and, you know, the mind-blowing news story to come out of it so far, according to all the NFL analysts, you know, is that Kyler Murray is a whole 2 inches taller than people thought he was. I mean, holy shit.
Holy shit, 2 inches? Now, because of these 2 inches, Kyler Murray, who was initially projected to be drafted in the low teens, is now the consensus pick to be drafted number one overall. I mean, what the fuck? Is there like a 24-hour open bar down there in Indiana? See, now sports is getting way too wrapped up in analytical bullshit for my liking. I mean, we put more value on measurements than actual production. I mean, the Bull did win the Heisman, right? He was a superstar in college. He did go to the college football playoffs. The fact that he's 2 inches taller than you thought he was, or he would have been 2 inches shorter than he actually is, should be irrelevant. I mean, the NFL has moved to more college-based systems, more shotgun-based attacks. So what really does it matter? Listen, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. As I sit here and tell you that Kyler Murray is a superstar, Kyler Murray is a Heisman winner, and he's deserving of his draft place, irregardless of his height, I will be the first to tell you, I do not believe Kyler Murray is the best quarterback in this draft. I believe that designation belongs to one Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins is a monster, and he's a prototypic pocket passer, right? That's what you told us you wanted for years, right? When you were trying to, undercut the value of black quarterbacks, right? You said you got to be a prototypic passer, pocket passer to survive in this league. What's changed? I'll tell you what's changed. Motherfuckers is getting fired. People is losing their jobs, right? And in this day and age, the almighty dollar will always win out over everything else. I mean, your value system, it plays second fiddle to your paycheck. And these coaches are starting to realize, I keep passing up on these great prospects because they're black or AKA a running quarterback, and it's going to keep costing me my job. Maybe I should start looking into actually getting the best players on the field. So that's what happened to the need for a pocket quarterback, right? It was all bullshit to begin with. But no, Dwayne Haskins, to me, is the better quarterback in general. He's more accurate, has a better arm, I believe, and he reads defenses better. And that's not a slight against Kyler Murray. He really wasn't asked to do that in the system that he played in. But Dwayne Haskins has done it, and I think he should be the first quarterback. If it was up to me, if I was the Arizona Cardinals or the New York Giants and I was looking at obtaining a quarterback this year, Dwayne Haskins would be my pick. The only argument you could make to me to convince me Kyler Murray should go ahead of Dwayne Haskins is that the Arizona Cardinals recently hired Cliff Kingsbury to be their coach. Air raid, better fit. And even then, it's questionable. I mean, better players are better fits, right? And I think Dwayne Haskins is a better player. But there is something to be said about somebody who's played in that system, who understands what's expected of him prior to going into it. So there is a case to be made that maybe Kyler Murray should be drafted if and only if it's by the Arizona Cardinals because he is already adept to that system, to that style of quarterback play. Outside of that, you can't convince me that Kyler Murray is better than Dwayne Haskins. Nothing you can say, okay, is nothing you can do to convince me of that narrative. Outside of Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins' conversation, just talk about the combine in general, right? The combine is further proof that the NFL can do no wrong. I mean, they made fucking working out interesting. That's all these players are doing is working out. And you got people around the world tuning in as if it's must-see TV. Let's look at Todd McShay and Mel Kiper Jr., right? They literally do nothing, okay? They generate one mock draft that is so out of proportion that people think that they've been hitting the bottom. They then refurbish and refine that mock draft 6 or 7 times over a 3-month span ultimately to end up with the same shit that they said in the beginning. It's fucking brilliant. Like, they literally get paid to do nothing. Like, and this isn't me hating. This is me being jealous. This is me being envious of their position. That is what I want for my life. To do nothing and to be made out to be some type of guru. Because I did nothing very well. I'm just now realizing that Todd McShay and Mel Kiper Jr. are my idols. They literally told the world, we're important because we can do something that nobody else can do. Properly evaluate NFL talent. Yet they've never really properly evaluated NFL talent. Wow. I need an autograph.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine.
Zion, Zion, Zion. So, filling y'all in on where I'm coming from with this. Zion Williamson against a game against North Carolina, marquee matchup, $3,000 tickets. $3,000 tickets, yeah, that's a slap in the face to everybody who say these dudes are amateurs. I call bullshit. Zion Williamson during this game, in the early opening minutes of this game, he's running on a fast break, busts out of his Nike shoe and hurts his knee. Now, the injury is not our priority here. That's not what we're concerned with. It's a sprained knee. He'll get healthy fairly quickly. What we want to talk about is now the growing concern, growing controversy centered around whether collegiate athletes of Zion Williams' ilk should continue to play the sport, even if it's detrimental, even if it's possibly detrimental to their positioning or draft placement in the league. If Zion Williamson gets hurt, that's millions of dollars out the window. Several athletes have spoken up on this topic. Boogie Cousins said the system is bullshit and Zion Williamson should, for all intents and purposes, sit out for the rest of the season and get his money. Giannis Antetokounmpo says he's a basketball player first and foremost. He loves the sport. And if you love the sport, you're going to play the sport. Here's my line of thought. For everybody that says Zion Williamson should sit out. For what? For who? Zion Williamson is not that good. All right? He's not LeBron James. Yes, he's a human highlight film. But as you can see, there's development needed there. I mean, hell, prior to this one season at Duke, Zion Williamson was not even the top-rated prospect. If there was a rule saying collegiate or high school basketball players could go to the league straight out of high school, then R.J. Barrett would be your number one pick, not Zion Williamson. So this one year in college has already done wonders for his draft stock. And if he sits out, it's potential that he be overtaken once again by R.J. Barrett. Now, the naysayers will say, oh, man, we're more concerned with his well-being and the well-being of the sport. Yes, we know what Zion Williamson does for college basketball. We know what Zion Williamson does for the NCAA. But what does the NCAA do for Zion Williamson? We have his best interests at heart. We're concerned about him. And I call bullshit, right? If you're really concerned about Zion Williamson, the one thing that everybody's not saying is the reason that he really got injured. He's fat, 285 pounds. Yes, his frame is fairly muscular. And a lot of people say, oh, that's a build of a freak. He's a freak of nature. I'm going to tell you right now, he's a fat boy. Okay, he when he gets in the NBA, he's going to have struggles maintaining his weight. So if you really had Zion Williamson's best interest at heart, you would say, hey, fat boy, lose some weight. And then you wouldn't have 285 pounds of meat, pause, chugging down the lane and busting out of Nike shoes. I mean, who really busts out of Nike shoes? Come on, man. That's a phenomenon within itself, right? That's a combination of speed plus fat, right? If Zion Williamson was at 185 or 215, that doesn't happen. We're not having this conversation. But he's 285. Fat boy. So if you're really concerned about Zion Williamson, if you're really concerned about Zion Williamson becoming the superstar that he's meant to be, you say, hey, let's get on this diet, man. Let's do this keto. Let's holler at this Herbalife, right? Because injuries are a part of the game, right? Injuries are a part of the game. But the most finely tuned athletes stay away from injury longer than others. LeBron James is a clear example of that. Your body got to be a temple. Zion Williamson put on 100 pounds of fat in a two-year span. That's not healthy. Yes, it might look good now, but we all know it catches up with you as you age. Also, I want all the people saying Zion Williamson should sit out to understand this isn't college football. This is college basketball. He still has something to play for. This isn't a meaningless Petridge Farms, bowl game. He can still win a national championship. And if to Giannis Antetokounmpo's point, if you love to play the sport, that's why you play the sport, to win first and foremost. And if you win, the riches will follow after. If you do something well, you will get paid for it. But if you show that your number one interest is money, a la Boogie Cousins, the money will not come as rapidly as you. You will have to work harder for it. So my advice to Zion Williamson is, the first foremost, get healthy, rest up that knee. Two, get back on the court. Learn as much as you possibly can from Coach K, under Coach K's tutelage. Win a national championship. Make a name for yourself. Make yourself a household brand. Lose some weight. And then go to the NBA. Priorities, man. Get your priorities in order. Don't let all these established multimillionaires tell you what to do. Ain't there yet, bro. That ain't your life. It could be. It could be if you actually live up to your potential. But to do that, you got to be on the court. Can't do it from the sidelines. Don't listen to Boogie Cousins and end up being the third pick in the draft and lose millions of dollars. Go out, get that championship, secure that number one pick, and move on. Almost at the bottom of the barrel, man. The cup's almost empty. And we're on our last topic. Last topic of the day. So I figured I'd make it a good one. What the fuck is wrong with the Boston Celtics? All that talent. Crowned the new leaders of the East since LeBron James left. And they're falling apart. Losers of four straight. Kyrie Irving's leadership is being questioned. Jason Tatum's mentality is being questioned. Brad Stevens' coaching is coming into question. What the hell is wrong with the Boston Celtics? To me, it's fairly simple. And I'm about to get on my... y'all might be sickened with my analysis of this. The talent is there. Jason Tatum is a stud. Kyrie Irving is a top five point guard in this league. Gordon Hayward has a potential to be an all-star. Jaylen Brown has a lot of talent. The problem is, the Boston Celtics don't have themselves a Steph Curry. They don't have the glue. They don't have that one guy that can bring everybody together, not just by his demeanor, but with his play on the court. They don't have that one guy who doesn't need the ball in his hands 65% of the time to be effective. They don't have that one guy who knows when to push, when to force the issue, and when to fall back. They got a bunch of individuals. They don't have a collective. And that's the issue with the Boston Celtics. They need to get themselves a Steph Curry, or somebody needs to develop themselves. And I'm not saying they need a three-point shooter. I'm not talking in that regard. But if you see what Steph Curry does for the Golden State Warriors, he's the missing link. He's the one that holds Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala. He's the one that holds them all together. He's the one that makes their play seamless and effortless and efficient. The Boston Celtics don't have that. They have a collection of supremely talented individuals that doesn't seem to work well together. And I've levied heavy praise upon Brad Stevens. But if he doesn't realize that this is the reason why they're not performing as expected, then shame on him. Criticism is deserving. Kyrie Irving needs to change his game. He is the face of that franchise currently, even though he might be going to New York after the season. But currently, he's the face of that franchise. He's the leader. Don't be LeBron James. That's the scary thing about this, right? Kyrie Irving's been on teams with LeBron James. He's seen the criticism of LeBron James' mannerisms and the way he reacts to his teammates. Yet he's going down the same path. Don't be that guy. Pull this team together. That's how you make your money. That's how you make your mark. If people will start saying Kyrie is one of the top five players in the NBA when he's able to make everybody else better. As I told you last week, LeBron James does not make everybody else better. He gets rid of players for better players. It's a difference. If Kyrie Irving is going to be the superstar that he's meant to be, if he's going to be the superstar that I think he is, he has to change his game. And again, this isn't about performance. This isn't about what he does on the court. It's a mentality. It's a mentality. Like, if we look at Michael Jordan, the greatest player of all time, the GOAT, right? There was never a point in the game that you felt Michael Jordan didn't have a handle on, right? If his team was down and you said, oh, the Bulls need to make a run, he led that charge. If his team was up and you said, oh, this is where the Bulls could end it, he led that charge. Michael Jordan wasn't a, I'm going to dominate you 48 minutes type guy, even though he could. Michael Jordan was a man of the moments, right? He stepped up when they needed it. And that's an intrinsic ability that not many players have. Currently, Steph Curry has that ability. Kyrie Irving needs to develop it if the Boston Celtics wish to become the team that they wish. And maybe Kyrie Irving's already checked out. Maybe mentally he's already in New York. And if he is, more power to him. But if he wants to win a championship, if he wants to make a name for himself outside of the shadow of LeBron James, he has to pull this team together. And he also has to realize he may not be the best player on the team. That's a big thing. That's a big thing for a superstar to come to grips with. As talented as I am, he might be better than me, right? Jason Tatum might be deserving of being the alpha male on that team. Now, Jason Tatum is young. Of course, he's not going to have that mentality right now. He's just trying to get it where he fits in. He's trying to follow Kyrie Irving's lead. If Kyrie Irving was a true leader, what he would say is, Jason Tatum, it's your time to shine, bro. It's your time to take. We need you to take over right now. Okay? I'm going to get mine. Don't worry about me. I know when to press the issue. I'm going to get mine, but you go get yours. Kyrie Irving doesn't do that. Kyrie Irving is a self-centered individual right now. At least that's how he plays. He wants the last shot, which is, everybody says, is what a player is supposed to be. But no, you got to be a man in the moment. Learn from Steph Curry and become a quasi Steph Curry. You could never be Steph Curry, Kyrie. And I love Kyrie. Kyrie is one of my favorite players in the NBA. But Steph Curry is just that guy. You know what I mean? He's just special. It's just something about him. He's got that glow. He got that aura. Okay? When he is on the court and that Warrior roster comes together around him, that's why they can't be beat. Celtics need to take a page out of the Warriors playbook. For everybody out there, man, I really appreciate y'all listening. This is episode 3 of Sports Whiskey and Earn. Please follow us on Instagram at Sports Whiskey and Earn. The Facebook page is up as well. Rate, review, subscribe, unsubscribe, and do it again, man. We trying to win by any means necessary. Text me with the, no, that's cheating. Listen, man, I applaud people who cheat.
Because if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
The cup's empty. The well's run dry. The episode is done. Check y'all out next week. Peace.